Man, we've been in the idea since the first of the year, this idea of what is the church? Because we have so many different definitions of the church. It's always weird on these side spaces here. I feel like if I talk to you, then I'm like singling you out. And then there's just one family here. So anyways, I'll work on that. But there's so many definitions of the church, the way that the world has defined it, the way that we have defined it, the way that the church has defined it. And so what we're really trying to do is we're trying to go back to the Word, and we're trying to look at what did Jesus say about his church? Who did he say that they would be? Because the first thing has to start with that the church is they. It's a people. It's a community. And we have to get past this idea that church is a building, a place that we go to. And so what we've been working through is that first we really spent about 3 weeks in that 1 Peter 2:9-10 that says that when Peter's talking to the church, and that's the word that he uses is the ecclesia. And he says that you, ecclesia, that you are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a chosen race, that you are God's people. And so we begin to look through those things of what he said about who the church is. And then we've really tried to come into this Acts chapter 2, where that's kind of the clearest blueprint that we have of what the church is supposed to look like. Now, obviously, culture has changed, and we're not in this culture here, but yet the heart of the church has not changed. And today we're going to look at, and we've been looking at, that they were devoted to the Word. They were devoted to fellowship, to prayer, to breaking of bread, to the expectation of miracles. They were devoted to extreme generosity. One of the problems that most people have with the church is this idea that we have to tithe and give 10%. And you're like, what? God doesn't need my money, or that's an Old Testament thing. But you just wait in a couple of weeks when we look at generosity, and that the church should be a people that is defined by their generosity. It said that they sold all of their possessions. Now, I don't like that. I like some, or the ones that we've grown out of, or the ones that we no longer want or need. But it says that they sold all of their possessions and they gave to everyone who was in need. And so this idea of tithe, of giving, is this old thing. And man, the church just wants my money. No, church doesn't want it. Church doesn't need it. The Lord doesn't need it. What he wants is your heart. He doesn't want your 10%. He wants you to live in a way where generosity flows out of you. And so that's not today's message, but I gave you a warning for a couple of weeks. So we looked at this idea of what does it mean to be devoted? It's not casual or occasional or convenient, but that it's a way of life. Devoted means to persist in, to hold fast to remain steadfast. And I want you to understand that devotion is difficult. What we're talking about today is where they were devoted to the Word. That was last week. Like, I understand that that's difficult. What I feel like the Lord is calling us to today, we're going to be devoted to prayer. And I understand the way that I'm going to say this, you're going to go like, man, that's just a lot. But I didn't say it. I'm just reading to you from the Word of God. I'm just saying what it says, and I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to go, oh, here you go. Here's how you spend your time. You say that you don't have time? Well, what about this? You say that there's not time? Oh, well, what time do you wake up? What time do you go to bed? How many activities are you involved in? Devotion is difficult. Hurry and devotion cannot coexist. We struggle with devotion because we're distracted. Devotion isn't the problem. Distraction is the problem. There's so many things that are pulling us so many different ways. And we can go, oh yeah, and look at how simple life was back then. They had this, and of course they could have been devoted to that, and because what else were they going to do? they do so much more than we could ever dream of doing. I think back to, like, I'm in construction, and you ever just, like, try to, like, instead, when you're framing a wall, instead of using that nail gun, to just use a hammer and nails? That ain't going to last very long. To screw and to use a screwdriver, you're like, these guys were men back then. We got these power tools now. But you think, like, we want to, like, push off devotion of, like, yeah, times were so much simpler back then. They were still pulled in every direction that you're pulled in now. They were tempted with in every way that you were tempted. Devotion isn't the problem. Distractions are. We're so consumed, we're so busy, and we're so preoccupied with lesser things that we struggle with devotion. Self-sufficiency. Now, we live in Texas, the Lone Star State. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I don't need help with anything, right? I mean, man, I love to hear the conversations of between a husband and a wife. Like, if you ask, if you were lost, how long would it take for you to ask for directions? You know, women are generally in the minutes phrase. You know, the guys are generally, like, in the days or maybe hours if they're lying. You know, like, man, if I'm lost, I'm just not going to ask anybody. Like, I'll keep driving. And why do we struggle with devotion? Because we think that we're self-sufficient. This one's going to hurt, all right? You're all sitting down. I've got the water back on for you, so you can't be too mad. But how much we pray shows how dependent we are on the Lord. If we don't pray, what we are saying to Him is, I don't need you. I need you to get out of my way so that I can figure this out. We have to come back to this idea of devotion. The early church was devoted. When we read through this passage, they were devoted to prayer, not as a task on a checklist, but as a lifestyle. It's as a way to fellowship with the Lord. So if you want to turn with me to Acts chapter 2, if you don't have your Bible, it should be up on the screen there. And so Acts chapter 2, we're looking at 42 through 47. The early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple, and they broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Today, our main idea is this, that prayer is about learning His voice. That prayer is about aligning our hearts with His. And that prayer is about becoming shaped by His presence. There is a deep cry, and it's been from the beginning of time, and it's been God saying, come to me, dwell with me, abide in me. From the beginning, God has desired a people who would walk in deep intimacy with Him. Yet so often we settle for surface level prayers and a lifeless religious routine. But prayer is more than a task. It's a transformational encounter with the living God. We have taken prayer from the biblical definition, from the biblical example of it, and we've equated it to God as our little genie in a bottle, and we get to spend time with Him, and we can ask Him things, and we get 3 wishes, and He'll come and make them true. And if He doesn't, then God hates us, or He's mad at us, or maybe He can't hear us. We've turned prayer into a task. We've turned prayer into, like, Santa's wish list. We've turned prayer into, like, our last hope, our last, oh, well, if all else fails, what? We'll pray. We've turned it into this little thing that we do right before dinner, before a sporting event, right? And then we've made it this public thing and where people can go, oh, look at that, they're praying. Oh, yeah. Prayer is so much more than that. I want to draw us back to prayer, not as a religious duty, but as an invitation to fellowship, to deep intimacy and divine power. Today is an invitation not to pray more, but to know him more. So I'm gonna talk and I'm gonna say these things, but not one time am I saying, man, you just gotta do more and you gotta be better. Not saying that. I'm inviting you to know him more. I'm inviting you to encounter him through fellowship with him. You look at Jesus. Jesus's life all throughout the Gospels that we have with him. There's one verse in Mark 1:35. It says, very early in the morning while it was still dark, he got up, went out, and made his way to a deserted place. And there he was praying. Jesus was God in the flesh, yet he lived a life of unceasing prayer. If he needed to pray, if the Son of God needed to pray, how much more do we need to? If you look, when you read through the Gospels and you start to notice things through there, you look at Jesus before he chose his disciples, he prayed. Before he walked on water, he prayed. Before he fed the 5,000, he prayed. Before he called Lazarus up from the dead, from the grave, he prayed. Before he went to the cross, he prayed. He prayed so severely that the word says that he sweated drops of blood. Even on the cross, as he breathes his last breath, the last thing he does is pray. He says, Father, forgive them. The last thing that Jesus did was commune with the Father. What I want to talk to you guys about today is it's less about talking, it's less about an obligation, but that prayer has to come from a place of intimacy. We have to understand that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that God dwells in us, that he is with us, that he is for us, that he lives inside of us and that he works through us. And so that when we begin to think of prayer, it's not as much of this sit down by myself and get alone and all of this. It's more of learning to walk with him. And every day, and all throughout the day, the word says in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says to pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean that we go into our room and we shut the door and we just pray and that's all we're going to do that day. There might be times where he calls you to that. But what he's really saying is that when we go about our day, that prayer, communion, and fellowship with the Father should be right there with us. It's not something that we have to make sure we set aside time and do. It's just supposed to flow in us and out of us. It's not an obligation. It's through intimacy. Jesus did not pray that often because he was God. He prayed that often because he was clinging to the Father. Even though he was the Son of God, I love that. It's Philippians 2:9. It says that for even though Jesus did not consider himself equal with God, right? He humbled himself and God exalted him and raised him up to be seated with him in heavenly places. Like even though Jesus did not see himself as God, so Jesus didn't spend all this time in prayer and fellowship with the Father because he was God. He spent it because he longed to be with him. So often in our prayers, we wonder, where are you, God? Right? We see situations in our lives and so often we ask that question, God, where are you? And I think so many more times God is asking us, Jeff, where are you? So many times we're trying to, because we've waited till the last second, or we haven't really even waited at all. We haven't even actually prayed, and we just go, Lord, where are you in this situation? Jesus said that my house will be a house of prayer. He's speaking prophetically about us, the church, the ecclesia. It means the called out ones. We as the church, we're a community called to carry the presence of God into this world. And the way that we do that is through prayer. Jesus's life was marked by dwelling and abiding in the presence of the Father, and he calls us to the same. Jesus set the example, and he calls us to that same level. We are to follow after him, to walk in his footsteps. Everything that Jesus did while he was on this earth was attainable by us right now. There's nothing that Jesus did that we're like, oh, well, we just can't do that. Oh, yeah, Jesus was that close with the Father because he was with him in heaven. No, everything that we see and read of the life of Jesus is available to us as Christ followers. So what I'm inviting you to is not something that's impossible. I'm inviting you into something that's available. But it's never going to be forced on you. God's never going to force you to pray. But his goodness and his kindness will continue to draw you into his presence. If we do not pray, if we become people that do not pray, then we have lost our identity as sons and daughters of God. Like, we don't get to call ourselves sons and daughters of God without communion and fellowship with him. We don't get to say, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm his. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, yeah, I used to go to church. Oh, yeah, I'm safe. Don't worry, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. We don't get to call ourselves sons if we're not fellowshipping with him. In that verse where he says that my house will be called a house of prayer, right before that, a couple of verses, do you remember what Jesus was doing? He showed up there. And there were people selling things outside of there. And he turns over the tables. And he said, my house will be called a house of prayer. And I think so many times what they had done is they had turned the temple into a place of transaction instead of a place of intimacy. And what is he saying to us today? The church isn't here. The church is here. If there's any tables that need to be turned over, it's me. Have I made my relationship with him a transaction, or have I made it about intimacy with him? One of the greatest tragedies in the modern church is that we've reduced prayer to a quick moment before meals, a last resort in times of trouble, or a religious obligation. Prayer is about learning to hear his voice, about aligning our hearts with his, and about being shaped by his presence. This first one is learning his voice. One of the greatest misconceptions about prayer is that it's a one-way conversation, that we speak and he listens. We've reduced prayer to that, to just we talk, we vent, we say what we need to say, and then we move on and do something else. Prayer is about learning to hear his voice. Jesus in John chapter 10 said, my sheep know my voice. The only way that we're going to ever know his voice is by spending time with him. There's a lot of other voices that are trying to be in our head and try to give us direction and wisdom and guidance in life. But there's only one voice that is the voice of our shepherd. We've been studying through the Old Testament, just personally, and one of the podcasts that I was listening to was talking about Psalm 23 and just about how the shepherds that at night, all the herds would be mixed together. But that when the shepherd said, come with me, follow me, only the sheep, only their sheep would follow them. And then the next shepherd would say, and the sheep would follow him. You see, there's a thing of intimacy with him. Prayer is not a transaction. Prayer is time spent with him. And we've reduced it to just, I talk, I say, I do this, I want, I need this. Where really prayer is more about just being quiet before him. Even that thought, because I know what you're thinking. Like, no, but wait, how can I pray if I don't say anything? Because prayer is not a transaction, it's fellowship with Him. We have to quit viewing this as something that happens in one little box of our lives. Prayer is fellowship with Him where it happens all throughout the day. For me, I drive a lot. And so a lot of my time I try to have conversations with Him. Like there are things where I need to remember something. If I'm writing something down, or sometimes I'll use my phone, but there'll be times where I'm like, okay, all right, hey, Lord, don't let me forget that. Oh, Lord, I've got to call this person. Oh, yeah. That's prayer. That's viewing Him as right there with us at all times. Prayer is learning to hear His voice, because then when I say, have you ever gotten that sense like, man, why is this person coming to my mind a lot? You're like, ah, that's weird. You know, whatever. Or we dismiss it a lot of times, don't we? So many times what the Lord is doing is He's speaking to us and we just don't know His voice well enough yet. And you're like, why am I thinking about that person? Or why did I have that dream? Or why is this happening? Lord, prayer is just time spent with Him so that we can begin to learn His voice. God is always speaking. Are we listening? We have to begin to learn how to distinguish His voice from all the other voices that are happening. There's lots of people talking. As we begin to pray, as we begin to talk, to sit, to listen, to journal, as we begin to just spend time with Him, we're going to begin to know His voice even more. His voice will always align with this word right here. Like the Lord's never going to tell you something that contradicts this right here. The world will. You know, like sometimes one of the biggest lies the world has right now is that, God just wants me to be happy, you know? And pretty much what that is, that's an excuse to do that thing that you want to do, that you even know that He's told you not to do, but you disguise it as, He doesn't want me to not have that. He doesn't want me to not eat that. He doesn't want me to not go there. He wants me to be happy. I don't know. I don't remember the address of that scripture right there. Do whatever you got to do to be happy. I don't know that one. It's important, but because the world and the enemy are so good at like making it so close to what the Lord says, right? We see it a lot in right now with this idea of gender and homosexuality and marriage and what is marriage. And it's like, oh man, but wouldn't a loving God, man, God loves everyone. And so that's okay. Like, right, the world makes it sound so good and so close. But getting alone with Him, learning to hear His voice, you'll go, oh, okay, but wait a minute. Let me find where that is in here. And if you can't find it in here, might not have been Him. The more that we saturate ourselves with Scripture, the more that we'll recognize His voice, His tone, His nature, and His truth. His voice brings peace, not confusion. The enemy always wants to bring chaos and confusion. But when we begin to learn His voice, we'll begin to recognize which way to go. Because it's the way of peace. Now, it doesn't mean that it's going to be comfortable. It doesn't mean that it's going to have everything that you need, that there's not going to be any pain or suffering. But peace is not something that we get from the outside. Peace is something that we have on the inside of us, that no matter what we're going through, if the Lord's told us to go there, then He's going to give us the peace to get through that thing. His voice will call us to a greater trust. Prayer is where we learn to trust God, not get all the answers, not know all the steps of His plan from A to Z, but it's where we get to see His goodness, His mercy, His faithfulness, His trust. So many times people give up on prayer because they prayed for something and it never happened. And they're like, man, I prayed for this and I wanted it, and the Lord didn't answer. The more time that we spend with him, the more time that we'll learn to trust him. He did answer, just not the way that you wanted him to or the way that you thought he was going to. And sometimes that's hard. Because you go, but I thought this was the way. I thought this was going to be it. But as you get with him, you're going to begin to learn that voice. And you're going to know, okay, no, that's right. I wanted that. That's not what he wanted for me. If we fail to hear him or if we ignore his voice, then we end up lost, wandering in darkness. Prayer is so essential because that's where we are found in him and that's where we find him. Prayer is about aligning our hearts with his. Many times our prayers are self-centered rather than God-centered. Dallas Willard said it this way. He said that prayer is not about getting God to do what we want. Prayer is about aligning ourselves with what he is already doing. Prayer is not about getting what we want. Prayer is about aligning ourselves with what he is already doing. If we could go back and listen to some of our prayers, how many times would we be embarrassed? Like, oh man, I can't believe I asked for that. We've made prayers about, God, bless my plans. God, remove my struggles. God, make my life easier. Where really what God's trying to do is trying to align us to his will and his purpose. A lot of times what we want is not what God has for us. Because we're looking at it from a worldly or an earthly or a pleasure mindset. And he knows what's best for us long term. It's like any good dad. You know, you don't turn your kids loose when they're 8 and on a car. Now, I know there are some older people here that grew up on a farm, and you did do that. All right, whatever. But you don't just turn them loose in something that can cause them harm and cause others harm. Not because you don't love them, but for that very reason that you love them. There's so many times that we're asking for things, we're wanting things, and the Lord's like, you're not ready for that. That's not for you. That will come, but not yet. We're so short-sighted. We live in the society of microwaves and now air fryers and what's the AirPod, Crock-Pot, what's that? Huh? Instapot, man, like a crock pot wasn't good enough, but now we got to have an Instapot. Gosh, you know, like it's not fast enough for us. And so we live in this society and this culture that we got to have results now and quick. Prayer is not this quick fix where we turn to him and we go, Lord, just fix it all. I'm tired of it. I'm done. Prayer is this long obedience. Prayer is this long formation where over time we begin to become aligned with his will, his purposes, what his desires are, so that we can align ourselves with that. This week I was talking with one of my workers. I work in construction also, and one of my workers was talking to me about, how do you feel that you need more money? And, you know, he starts going through his reasons and, you know, like I was like, oh, hey, well, why don't you tell me about like what your finances look like right now? You know, that's not something that your typical boss does. Or if they do, then you're like, get out of my way. What are you talking about? Get out of my business. And so we just begin to go, okay, well, look at this. Here's how much money you spend eating out every day. You don't need more money. You need to use it more wisely. And the Lord just goes, oh, you don't need more. You just need to use yours better. Oh, you don't need that. You just want that. It's in the garden. This is going to squeak, sorry. I think back to Jesus in the garden. The garden that he was handed over to suffering and death. He was praying in the garden. And man, do you know what his prayer was? Like, Not my will, Father, but yours be done. If there's any other way, I would enjoy that. But if this is for you, if this will bring you glory, then it's not about me. What if our prayers looked like that? What if our prayers were less about us and our circumstances, and they were more about, God, how can you use what I have now to bring you glory? Not just to bring you glory, but how can you use me with what I have to reach the lost and the hurt and the broken? If anyone had a right to ask for a different plan, it was Jesus. He wasn't going, Lord, I want out of this. He was saying, Lord, I want to align my will with yours. I think to the blueprint of prayer, which is the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 13. I think it's up there. I might just read that. Sometimes my wife is in the nursery and she gripes at me if I don't read the passage all the way. So she's not in here, but somebody can tell her I did good today on that. Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 13. This is Jesus. He said, therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Look at his prayer when he taught his disciples how to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Like we're dependent on you. Prayer is where we surrender our agendas, our ambitions, and our anxieties, it becomes our devotion. Our desires begin to mirror him, and we step into a life of power and purpose. Freedom, because we're so busy trying to do our own thing, and we're asking God to bless it after the fact. You know, it's like, hey, I'm going to go and do this. Oh, Lord, bless. Did you even ask me if I wanted you to do that? But so many times we just do it and we go, oh, Lord, bless that. You know, I use that example of, you know, eating an unhealthy meal because I'm trying to not do that anymore, you know. But it's that, you know, and he's looking at me going, don't be ridiculous. But how many times do we do things and we say, Lord, bless this? And he's looking at us like we're holding the Dr. Pepper and Twinkies at 5 a.m. going, are you serious? We think that we can just tack on, oh, in the name of Jesus, and that makes it right. Prayer is where we learn who he is, his nature, so that we can become like him. This one passage, 2 Corinthians 3:18, it is up here. It's the next one. We all with unveiled faces are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into. Prayer is about learning his voice. Prayer is about aligning our hearts with his, and then prayer is about becoming shaped by his presence. Prayer is the place where we're transformed into his image. The more that we spend time with him, the more we begin to look like him. Prayer is not where we get the things that we want. It's where we get our identity and purpose. It's where we become sons and daughters. The more time we spend with him, the more we begin to look like him. They say this a lot about older married couples. I'm not going to call you out. You know who you are, you know, all of you older people out there. But they say that the longer you're with them, that you begin to look like them. And in some cases, that's a good thing, you know, for the guys. But it's not really that you begin to look like them. It's just that you begin to mimic them in the way that you talk, the way that you, your cadence, the way that you eat, like all of the things, you just begin to give the appearance that you look like them because you're doing things the same way. The more time that we spend with him, the more we become shaped by him. you will not live a transformed life apart from spending time with him. Like you can't just, and last week we talked about the word, being devoted to the word, and like you can't just read it and become full of knowledge and go, okay, I got it. I'm going to, like, to be shaped and to be transformed by him means to spend time with him. The more time we spend with him, the more we reflect him. I think of Moses. It says that, this is in Exodus 34, that when Moses came down from the mountain, do you remember his face shone because he had been with God? And then after that, in the tent of meeting, Moses would go into the tent of meeting and he would be with God. And it says that he would come out and his face would shine. But that eventually that shine would wear off, and so he would cover his face because he didn't want people to see that it had worn off. But then he would go back into the tent of meeting, go back into the presence of God, and then he would be with him. And we truly encounter him in prayer and fellowship, we're not the same. I think to the disciples, the religious leaders were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. They were ordinary men with no education. These religious, they know these things. They're just ordinary, uneducated men. Well, they had been with Jesus. They had been with the Holy Spirit. The world does not need more pastors and missionaries or religious elite. It needs more people being shaped by his presence. We have to reject the idea of prayer as a quick fix or a transactional exchange with God. It is a slow, steady formation of the soul. Prayer is a long obedience in the same direction. God's presence rewires how we think. When we begin to see things from a heavenly perspective rather than an earthly one, where we learn that worry and doubt can be turned into trust and faith, where brokenness can be turned into wholeness, where there was hopelessness, now there's hope, because we're being transformed and shaped by his nature. Prayer is about learning his voice and aligning our hearts with his and becoming shaped by his presence. This is possible. To pray without ceasing, to live a lifestyle of prayer, it's possible, but in order to do that, we have to change how we view prayer and how we pray. I want to challenge you this week to start. Prayer is about fellowship with him. Like, he is a person. Can't see him, but he is a person. He is with us. He is in us. He's around us. He's everywhere. We have to begin to view prayer not as asking him for things, but as walking in unbroken fellowship with him. We have to begin to view prayer as something that we walk out every day, and he's there with us every second of the day. One thing that I found that I carry with me in my backpack is just a journal that says, this one has ideas on it. You know, when you buy a pack, it just has whatever. So this has ideas. And so I keep that with me in my truck whenever I'm with them. And so as I begin to pray and as I begin to walk with him and fellowship with him, I keep this journal beside me because, I don't want you to think that prayer involves no talking and it's just sitting, but there is talking, you're conversing. It's two ways. But at some point, we got to stop talking so that we can hear what he wants to say. You know, so many times we just treat it as like, I need this, I want that. Lord, how is this ever going to happen? How am I going to make this work? And then like, we're like, okay, done, closed. And he's like, oh, wait, I was going to tell you something. You know, and we're done, we've moved on. So I've learned for me, I've got to learn to just talk, but then be quiet. And then journal. And whatever I journal that day, it might not mean anything for me that day. What did he say right there? And I'll turn back. I'll be like, oh yeah, that's right. That's what he said. We have to learn to do that. Prayer is a place where we surrender. align my will with his, not he sees things from my perspective now, right? Like if I just said it enough, if I just logically laid out the reins to him. Continue to lay down your life. It says that our bodies are a living sacrifice. We have to begin to view prayer that his nearness transforms us. His nearness changes us. An encounter with him will never leave you the same. So my hope for you is that this, that prayer would become less of a transaction and more of just a fellowship with him. Just start. All you have to do is when you're driving to work tomorrow, or when you're doing the laundry, when you're folding the clothes. I saw some ladies elbowing their husband. No, I'm not. When you're going about life, have a conversation with him. Take out the podcast. Take out the worship music. You'll never be disappointed. I'm just going to pray for us, and then that's it. So, Father, your word to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. I understand that I don't know what that looks like fully and completely, and so I rely on you to show me and teach me. But I begin to view you not as a transaction, but as a fellowship with you. Father, I pray for us in this room that we would desire that. That prayer would not be something we do, but it would become who we are. Father, we love you. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank